Is a four-day work week for everyone? 92% of businesses say, yeah. I'm Leanna Byrne, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Good morning. How would you like to get all of your pay for 80% of the time? Well, one of the world's biggest pilots of the four-day work week has ended in the UK. It's found that 92% of businesses involved want to keep it going. 61 companies took part over 6 months. One of them was Gary Conroy, founding director of the skincare brand Five Squirrels in Southern England. He says that his staff are more productive and they never have to work on a Friday.
On all of our productivity metrics, everything's up. So we've made that a permanent feature at Five Squirrels. You know, the incentive of getting an extra day off, it's saving lots of time and getting more work done. Staff are more focused and less distracted. The only Fridays we need to work were the sort of existential things, like maybe conferences or training courses or things that the company hasn't organised. That's the only experience we've had of it so far where people have had to work Fridays. On occasions in the early days where we thought we might need to work Friday, people just readjusted and knuckled down to ensure that they got what they needed done by Thursday so they could just guarantee that extra day off. They may have been doing unnecessary tasks in the past. We've kind of cut all the fat out so that we can guarantee that Friday off.
That was Gary Conroy from skincare brand Five Squirrels. Now, while companies who've trialled this four-day week are happy with it, Abigail Marks, she's Professor of the Future of Work at Newcastle University Business School, she says that a four-day work week for some, but not others, could contribute to a labour force divide.
What worries me is that it's quite divisive in separating the sort of the haves from the have-nots, those people that are on zero-hours contracts working in the gig economy, possibly lots of people that are weekly paid. It's just not going to be practical. And I think it will further separate those people in good, reasonably paid jobs from those that are struggling.
Future of Work Professor Abigail Marks. Now, let's get the numbers. One of the world's biggest lenders, HSBC, reported pre-tax profits of $5.2 billion. It's a sign of how much rising interest rates have helped boost banks' profits. HSBC shares went up by 3%, but elsewhere, the markets are fairly muted. Vladimir Putin has been giving a speech about the invasion of Ukraine almost a year to the day since he ordered it. Addressing MPs and military leaders in Moscow, Mr. Putin blamed the West for starting the war.
The responsibility for starting the Ukrainian conflict, the growth of its victims, is entirely on the Western leaders and, of course, on today's Kyiv regime.
Every day this week, we're looking at the impact of the conflict, and there's been an immense human toll. It's thought 8 million people were forced to flee and start again. The BBC's James Graham hears from some of those that have had to create new lives.
Hundreds of thousands of desperate people are trying to leave. Chaotic scenes.
Every news bulletin carried the same pictures. Crowds of people carrying all they could fleeing war. But what happened after those first weeks of turmoil? Anastasia and her partner Alexei settled in northern England and started a cleaning business. But it's been challenging.
We don't have a lot of customers, we don't have a lot of orders, but we need to start with small things and step by step, maybe this year we will get more orders.
This wasn't her chosen career, and it hasn't been simple picking up where she left off.
I was a lawyer. Then, when I moved to England, I tried to be a lawyer maybe here, but I understand that it's different. In the future, I need to make my qualification or I need to get my degree. So I want to try. I want to continue. Maybe I'll open my small law company in UK and will help Ukrainian.
Yulia also came to the UK. A seamstress by trade, she tried to restart her wedding dress business.
My husband sent me sewing machines and everything, but it's not easy because system of business in England is different. It's not like in Ukraine. And I started work in a wedding dress factory and I'm happy with this job.
She says worries over language and the different legal system held her back.
I really scared that I do something wrong and then I can have a problem here. So I just think, okay, I just take this choice and work with company and this will be more easy for me because I think I need more time, not like 1 year.
So while some seek to build new businesses, others have kept things going back in Ukraine from afar. Konstantin, an IT entrepreneur, was caught outside the country at the time of the invasion. Fortunately, he had a plan for his staff.
Before the war, we said that everyone has $2,000 for relocation. And we either compensate them afterwards or we give them beforehand as cash. So they just have this money set aside in case if something happens. When it began, the entire team was 40% functional the first week. And in a month, we were back at 100%.
Konstantin says those wages, together with his ongoing campaign to encourage people to buy from Ukraine, helps everyday livelihoods for the millions who remain. I'm the BBC's James Graham for Marketplace.
Now, you might remember this story. Earlier this month, we told you about a botched $250 million order for commuter trains in Spain. The trains ended up being too wide to fit through tunnels. More heads are now rolling over the fiasco. The BBC's Ana Pissarro reports.
Two managers of the railway companies in charge of the project have already been sacked since the oversized train scandal broke earlier this month. The latest heads to roll are the boss of Spain's state rail operator and the Secretary of State for the sector. The Minister for Transport apologized to the regions involved and said there would now be a delay of 2 or 3 years for the new rolling stock. The president of the Cantabrian regional government has already demanded compensation, describing the scandal as an unspeakable botched job.
The BBC's Ana Pissarro there. Thanks to James Graham for producing. Our editor is Joe Critcher. And that's it from me in the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. For more on these stories, you can visit the BBC News website. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for listening.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.